continuing in the Proverbs and the pursuit of wisdom. That's what we're looking at. We're pursuing after wisdom. And we come to Proverbs 4, and it's all about that pursuit here. Solomon, right? Are you there at Proverbs 4? Yep. All right. You're close. All right. We all there? I'm there, but I'm not all there. All right. Here we go. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. We have the exhortation of a father to his children. Pay attention. Get understand. My dad used to tell me, I teach you all I know and you still don't know anything. Right? Get it. Get some understanding. Solomon says he learned wisdom from his father. David's not the father example for me in the Bible, you know? Didn't run his house real well. Not a real good example. Yet he tried to teach his son wisdom. Fathers, you have a responsibility in your home to teach your children. It isn't the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It isn't my responsibility. It's your responsibility to teach your children. And as you're teaching them, man, it's like this, and you're imploring them, please, please, you're begging them. Get wisdom. Well, we have doctrine here. He says, for I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. As I read this, I think not of Solomon, but I think of our Heavenly Father. Isn't that what he says to us? Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake my law. The precepts that I've given to you, lay hold of them. In verse 5, Solomon says, get wisdom, get understanding. In verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the most important thing. Listen, wisdom is the most important thing. I'm looking at that and I said, no, wait, whoa. That isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is to love the Lord your God. That's the principal thing. Oh, but remember what he taught us before? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're not going to have any wisdom. You can't get any wisdom unless you first get the Lord. You got to begin there with the Lord. And then the wisdom starts coming. It begins with the Lord. It's the principal thing. Get wisdom. How do I get that? I get Jesus. I get into his word. I start listening to him. And this is what he says here. Look, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Take hold of wisdom. We spend a lot of time teaching our children, don't we? Don't we? Your parents invested a lot of time teaching you. Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to the wall. Right? I heard that from my mom. And now I'm living that horror. We can teach, we can be told, we can be instructed. We can have people invest time to come alongside and help us. But we've got to receive. We've got to receive the word. We've got to hear it and accept it. Yeah, I want that. Y'all know about receiving, right? Right? There's some guys that they're going to be looking at balls here Sunday, right? Well, there goes a nice pass. That looked like a good one. They're going to lift up their hand. They're going to go for it. They're going to lay hold of it. And that's what we have to do with wisdom. With the Word of God, we've got to lay hold of it. We've got to receive it. The Father's desire, our Father's desire, is that we would hear His Word. That we would receive His Word. What He says. That we'd say, oh yeah, that's so right, that's so true, that's what I need in my life, that's what I'm going to do. And He says that if we do that, then our life, the years of our life, they will be many. He says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. When we walk through life, man, doesn't it seem like there's a lot of things that are hindering our steps? It does to me. There's a lot of traps in life. There's obstacles. But God gives us wisdom for living our lives. Living it the way He wants us to live it. If we're living according to His ways, His plans, our life will run a lot smoother. But if we ignore what God says, I'm going to do it my own way. Oh, we are in for trouble. He says here in verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter onto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We see two ways. the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. He warns, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Man, have you seen all the construction on the coast? The road construction? Maybe it's just where I'm going. But man, I have to go by the hospital in Ocean Springs right now every day, a couple times a day. And there's getting more and more cones. And there's construction and danger and caution and be careful. And I'm thankful that they have all those signs up there, aren't you? I mean, otherwise you come along and you turn and you're going where you're not supposed to go. You can do serious damage to your vehicle driving where the road's all torn up. You can do serious damage to your life walking down paths where you shouldn't be. And here's the cool thing. We have warnings. I mean, we don't have the orange cones and the flashing. We got the warnings right here. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Stay out of the way of the wicked. It's like being in darkness. They continually stumble along the way. Have you ever... I want to say, have you ever met truly wicked people? And maybe it was you. Don't tell on yourself, okay? I'll just close my eyes. You can be consumed with evil, where you don't even know. I mean, you don't think it's... You don't think what you're doing... That's not that bad. That's not wicked. That's not evil. It's not hurting anybody. Or so you think. And your day, it isn't finished before you've involved yourself in some type of evil, some type of wickedness. It's so easy to get sucked into those things. And really not understand it. Not see the danger. Not taking heed to the warnings that are out there. On the other hand, there's another way. He calls it the path of the just here. In verse 18, it's the way of the righteous. It's the way of light and life. As you follow along that path, you have the Lord leading you and guiding you. And His light is shining on you. And His light is illuminating your path and guiding your way. You all have seen people who got on the wrong path, haven't you? Have you heard somebody, well, they just started down the wrong road. They got off on the wrong path. Well, it might have been you again, okay? It's so easy to get on that wrong path. But the Father's heart is that we wouldn't enter into the path of the wicked. And if we do... If we find out, hey, you know, I'm going along, everything's going along great, I'm fine, and then I just went over here for a little detour, and I really got detoured. You don't have to stay there. If it ever happens, if you feel like you've got yourself going the wrong direction right now, you don't have to stay there. All you got to do is turn around and go the other way. That's what repentance is. Man, I'm headed down this path. I don't like it. I see where this is leading. Praise the Lord, I can turn around. That's repentance. And go a different way. His desire is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's his will. That if you're going down that wrong way, that you turn around and come to him. And he'll help you. He'll help you to get back to that place that you need to be. Solomon says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Oh man, this is better than a health food store, huh? Give attention to my word. Well, we're to give attention to God's word. We're to incline our ear to what he says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're to listen and to hear. You know when the Jews, when they would read these things, they would read them out loud, always. They didn't read silent. They read out loud. And that way faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They actually heard the word of God. They were saying it. They were hearing it. They were reading it here. Look, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We're to read God's word. Your word I have hidden in my... Wow, y'all scared me for a minute. I was going, okay, we're going to have to go back to Psalm 119. And that struck fear in my heart. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to be reading God's word, hearing God's word, hiding his word in our heart, making it real, that it would be life to us. Verse 23, it's huge. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. All those things that are important to you, the issues of life, come from your heart. You want to hide God's word in your heart so that you can keep your heart with all diligence. You guard it. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard what we say. We need to guard what we hear. We need to guard what we see. Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. The things that come from your heart defile you. The heart is utterly wicked. Who can trust? Beyond deceit, who can trust it? Wow. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Man, we got to check our hearts, don't we? Oh, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. We guard our hearts. He tells us how. Check this. Yeah, I know I need to guard my heart, but I don't know how. Look, it's right here, verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. couple applications here for us. First, we need to watch how we speak, right? Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, and all evil speaking be put away from you. We need to be careful of our speech, how we respond to others, the things that we say. But we also need to be careful about the speech we allow in. The things that other people are saying. Well, you know, you can't control some of those things. I mean, they just are. And there's enough of those to grieve you each day, all day long, just living in the society we live in. It's hard to get away from. But you know what? You can turn some things off. Really? There was something on, and I can't remember what. It was just the other day, and Matthew said, "Turn it off, Dad. Just turn it off." It was like, whoa, dude. But I'm liking it. It was cops again. Bad boy. We need to be careful of the things that we are allowing in. Because they get in, they seep in, and they roll around here, and they go down here. And before we know it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, that's what I put in. That's what I allowed in. That's why we're to speak to each other in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts. Oh, is that what's going to come out? Melody? We need to guard, put the perverse lips far from us, not tune into it. And then we need to guard our eyes. What things are you looking at? What things are you watching? What are you reading? It's not just watching, it's reading. There's a bunch of filth to read. When I remember in Driver's Ed. Do you remember Driver's Ed? Did you have the simulator car that they didn't work with, sit there and spin donuts with them? And, you know, number four, you're going in the wrong direction. But I remember you had to watch the film. And one of the things, it's amazing I remember this. The trivia I remember, aim high in steering. Were you told to do something like that? Look out in the distance. Aim out there. Don't be looking over here. Keep your eyes straight ahead, right? Because the tendency, if you look over this way, is to go over that way. And the same with sin. Whoa. Oh, look at what they're doing. Oh, this is shameful. Watch, guard your heart by watching what you're looking at. Hey, keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Man, if you're looking at Jesus, you're not going to get lost. You're not going to get off the path. Because you've got your focus on him, and you know he's got his eyes on you, and you two are locked together. You're in a good place. Guard your heart by watching where you're going. Look at verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. It was our 27th anniversary. All right. I've already forgotten. It was just 2 weeks ago. Time flies when you're having fun. I wanted to do something different, okay? And so we went to a bed and breakfast, I told you. Didn't I tell you? We went to a bed and breakfast. I went and I searched and I found a bed and breakfast. And let me just tell you, you got to be a bed and breakfast guy if you're going to go to a bed and breakfast. I'm not. I didn't know. I'd never been to one before. It was like spending the night at your aunt's house or something. Your weird aunt that you really don't know, okay? Okay, the strange aunt that the rest of the family talked about, and you know, but she's got this really nice house. Okay? Yeah, so you're passing through, you stay, and you know, I'm just not a bed and breakfast guy, okay? Give me the anonymity of a chain hotel, okay? You know, nobody knows me. They don't want to know me. You know, they invited me to be their Facebook friend. It was like, no, we're just spending the night. This isn't a real relationship, okay? Well, that's why they wanted me on Facebook. It's not a real relationship. So, where am I going with this? Look, this is important. Okay, so the bed and breakfast was in New Orleans. But not in seedy New Orleans. Wait, are you kidding me? I can't believe I said that. Okay, we were up in the Upper Garden District, okay? St. Charles, trolley car thing, and it's not the French Quarter, okay? But we were going to go and have a nice dinner because in New Orleans, you can have a nice dinner. They have really good food. Oysters like nowhere else that I've ever had them. There's something special about the oysters. Anyway, so we're going to go eat. So we start going down St. Charles, looking at places. Well, there's a place. We went to one place. We said, no, you know, I want something a little more. I mean, I want something really nice. I want something nice, but not too nice. Like, they have, like, Emerald's place, like, $75 a plate nice. That's too nice for me. I don't deserve that, okay? I don't. I deserve a break today. I'm thinking about, you know, the Big Mac meal and supersize it. You know, I'm going all out. So we're looking for a place to eat, and we're on St. Charles. And the more easterly you go on St. Charles, the darker it starts getting. And there were some nice places down there, but it was down there at the French Quarter. It was at night. And Amy said, I just don't even want to be here. Cool. And so we just left. Because that's not a good place for us. You know what I'm saying? It's too evil, too much wickedness, too much debauchery. We don't need that in our life. So you're headed down that direction. Yeah, where are we going? Well, we're going to eat. Well, ponder the path that you're taking. Ponder the direction your feet are going. No, this is not a good direction. Okay, I'm out of here. I'm going this way instead. And so that's what we did. We had a lovely meal, didn't we? You supersized it, didn't you? And you even got the Sunday afterwards. No, no.
No, we skipped
dessert. Yeah, we did skip dessert. Because, man, we had a great steak and salad and artichokes that were grilled. Oh, it was awesome. Awesome. It was a great meal. Great dinner, great celebration without having to be a part of the wickedness. That was awesome. Be careful. Keep your heart with all diligence. But you got to be diligent about it, right? You got to say, no, I'm listening to this, and you're right, Matthew, I need to turn it off. Or, no, I'm going this direction. Yeah, you're right, Amy, we don't need to be here. Be diligent. Be diligent about what you're doing. Guard your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your feet, where you're going. Be diligent. All right, we good? Should we go to Proverbs 5? Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 deal with sexual immorality, which isn't very prevalent or pertinent to our society. So let's just go to Proverbs 8. Wow. Proverbs 5. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've been guarding my eyes and my ears, and yeah. In Proverbs 5, let's pick up verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion. And your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. The discussion here focuses on temptations from an immoral woman. Now, ladies, you can't check out on this, okay? Because, well, Lord, may it never be, you could be the immoral woman, right? It's a possibility. Lord forbid, may it never be, but it is a possibility, is it not? Okay. But not just that. The discussion is just as pertinent to women in regard to immoral men as it is to men and immoral women. So just flip-flop that gender around there however you have to. Because it's the same. The Father is urging us to listen to Him in regards to sexual purity. It is a huge temptation. It is a huge trap. Seduction. He says, my son, pay attention. Pay attention. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, but don't listen to that immoral person. There's two voices that are crying out, right? There's the voice of the Lord that's crying out to us, trying to protect us, and there's the voice of immorality and the voice of temptation that's trying to lay hold of us. Don't listen to the tempting, the seduction of the immoral person. Their lips, oh my, yeah, they say, oh, did you hear what they said? Oh, it was so sweet. Oh, that was so sweet. Oh. like honey. Wow. Smoother than oil. I talked to a man and a woman. They were having marital difficulties. And as I talked to him, it was like, wow. I had to get along with the husband. And I told him, you are such a smooth talker. You scare me. Very smooth. Involved in sexual immorality, by the way. He had a very smooth tongue. It helped him in his conquest. A man, a woman, watch out. There are words. They're enticing. There's an allure there. There's flattery. That's what we talked about last time, didn't we? But in the end, that thing that was initially sweet became exceedingly bitter. Poison. It leads to death. Therefore, verse 7, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Is this the Father speaking or what? Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. James told us that we're all going to face temptation, right? We're going to have trials, and some of those trials are going to be temptation. Thank you, Lord, that He gives us warning regarding the temptations. He gives us wisdom to understand what they are, what they look like. And He tells us to just stay away. Get away. If there's temptation near you, get away from it. Remove yourself. You may not be able to remove the temptation, but you can certainly remove yourself. Correct? Remove yourself. Don't go near. Don't get close to the fire, or you're going to get burned. Lest you give your honor to others in verse 9. You see that? John Edwards. Oh my gosh. John Ed. Squeaky clean. Glamour boy. Running for president. I think the president should be a man of honor and integrity, don't you? Where's his honor? Bye-bye. He has none. It's gone. While he's running for president, he's having an extramarital affair. He conceived a child with his mistress. His honor's gone. I mean, I say his name and you, oh! Tiger Woods. Qu- quite possibly, more than likely, in my opinion, the greatest golfer that ever lived. Who has more honor? Jack Nicholson? No. Here's Johnny. No. Jack Nicholas. Yeah. Arnold Palmer. Oh, on the tractor with Quaker State? I mean, see, there you go. Tiger, possibly the greatest golfer ever. He's in seclusion because he dishonored himself and his family. I'll have to get with you for my lines, okay? You could write my lines for me, okay? I'll be in Proverbs 6 and 7 next week. You just pick a few, you know? Look at verse 10. Let aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Now, I don't know about the aliens and foreigner thing, but I've met many men that are paying for their immorality. They're working themselves to death to pay what they owe, to support their children, who no longer live with them because of their immorality, because they had to go and do this thing, and their wife left them, took the kids and left, and now they're paying child support. Oh yeah, and the wife remarried a more honorable man. And that money that man is paying for child support, this other man is using to keep his house going. Isn't that reality? There's more consequences. Look at this, verse 11. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Sexually transmitted diseases are epidemic in the United States. The Center for Disease Control, their 2008 report on STDs, it says the CDC estimates that there are approximately 19 million new STD infections each year. 19 million new ones. Okay, let's see. 19 and 19, check me on this, 38 million. Plus 19, 57 million? That's in 3 years? 57 million? Are you kidding me? Let's have safe sex. There isn't any. Except in marriage. It's interesting to me that people still die of gonorrhea and syphilis. Do you know this? In the United States. You know that syphilis was almost eradicated in the United States in the 70s? Do you know this? You ought to go see the charts, man. It's off the charts. It's going crazy. The most interesting thing to me is that HIV and AIDS, it's not a sexually transmitted disease. See, it's just not, it's not politically correct to say it is. And so they don't include those figures in their report. Is that wild? Crazy. Crazy. It's insane. It's sin. It's the blindness that comes from a society that embraces sin. Sexual sin begins as something that's, oh, this is exciting. This is going to be awesome. This is coming. And it ends in misery, in poverty, and in death. So there isn't any safe sex except for in marriage. And Solomon, he addresses it right here, man. Drink water from your own cisterns and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Look, God has given us physical intimacy in marriage to enjoy, to be enraptured with. Like, you actually like it. Well, of course you do. Of course you do. You have a physical desire to have sex. God made you that way. Not dirty, holy. This is holy. The two shall become one. It's how God designed us. And he made us to take satisfaction from our spouse. And to have that satisfaction. You have a thirst, a sexual desire. Well, how is that sexual desire going to be quenched? With a mate that you are married to. It says here, drink water from your own cistern. And running water from your own, well, running water, that's spring water. Woo-hoo! Man, if you got a thirst and you have a drink of spring water, let me tell you, we lived up in the mountains, 8,100 feet. We had a well. Out of the well came fresh Rocky Mountain spring water. Okay, it wasn't Coors. Okay? It was the real deal. And oh, refreshing it was. So look, take a drink from your own well, from running water, where the water is good, where that desire is quenched. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the street. I love this. What an illustration. Okay, I am going to give you something to quench that desire. Okay, your own well, your own spring. Oh, it's satisfying. Oh, it's good. Do you want to drink that or you want to drink the water in the gutter? Your wife, pure, satisfying. Someone else, polluted, defiled. Where are you going to get the satisfaction? You can't get any satisfaction from the other. Be enraptured with your spouse. Yeah, that word means intoxicated, by the way. Be intoxicated, enraptured. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his path. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of his instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Look, marriage is honorable among all, and the marriage bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Extramarital sex, sex outside of marriage, adultery and fornication, okay? God's going to judge them. Yeah, but nobody knows. What? God knows. If you're involved or if you have been involved, you need to repent. Just need to repent. Look, this sin, sexual sin, is so deadly. It lays hold of a person and they can't get themselves out. They become so deceived. John Edwards. Okay, so you've got a mistress. She's staying at Andrew Young's house. And you're going to become president. Oh, yeah, and she's having your baby. And you think that this is going to go on and nobody's going to figure this out? Look, God, it says, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. What are you doing? What are you thinking? It's all clear before the Lord. So nobody else might find out. Probably they're going to find out too. You're just deceived into thinking nobody else will find out. But it's going to come out. But the Lord knows. And he's going to judge it. And here you are tied up in bonds of sin that you created yourself. Talk about foolishness and folly. Solomon has more to say about this in the next two chapters. So we're going to leave this tonight. We'll get back to it next week. So if you know of anyone fooling around, just bring them with you. And if you're fooling around with them, you better come back too. Repentant. Father, we come and Lord, this is serious stuff here. You've taken great time and effort to warn us. Lord, we thank you for what you've given us, the physical relationship within marriage, the purity, Lord, that you've given us, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to guard our hearts and to keep that relationship pure. We pray, God, for the marriages here, that you would protect them, Lord, that you would keep evil from us, that you'd keep temptation from us. Lord, I pray that if there's any that have taken a wrong turn down the wrong path, that tonight they just say, Lord, help me. I don't want to go any further. I want to turn around from where I've gone. That, Lord, we know that you're gracious, that you're forgiving, that you're able to restore those things that have been destroyed. And so, Lord, we come, we just seek you tonight. We seek you to guard our hearts and our minds. We seek you to protect our marriages, the marriages of our brothers and sisters. We seek you, Lord, to protect those that aren't married from what will destroy them. We pray, Lord, lifting up just one another to you. Lifting up this body, asking that you help us, that you protect us, that you give us eyes to be aware of the traps In your name, Jesus. Amen.